Tonight we are going to look at the book of Revelation. And I'll get through this thing here. And looking at it, we see that man had divided this particular book into 22 chapters. And I'm going to talk a little bit later in our lesson concerning the dates of when it was written. Some people claim it was written between 54 to 66 AD, but other scholars feel that it was written from 94 to 96 AD. John doesn't tell us when it was written, but a lot of people, when they dig into this particular book, they look at those particular dates. But the key thought that we could extrapolate from the book of Revelation is there's victory in Jesus. In him, he's going to defeat evil as you read the book of Revelation. And also, Jesus provides us with hope, the hope that each and every one of us is longing for, eternal life. And we see the content. If I were to teach this particular class, Book of Revelation, I would start by looking at the Book of Daniel, chapters 7 through 12, to introduce all this imagery that Jesus shared with John and provided for us. We see the content of panorama of Daniel's 70th week is greatly expanded to include the tribulation period, the kingdom, Armageddon, the judgment of Satan and demons, and the great white throne, judgment, the new heaven. And the key lesson for you and I, when we look into Revelation, is always be prepared. We don't know when Jesus is going to return, but he will. He may return tonight. He may return in 5 minutes. Years from now, we don't know. But as Christians, we have to be prepared. We have to make sure we look at God's word and apply that to our lives. Jesus, in this book, we see that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end. And he is coming. He's going to return. He is the one who makes all things right. It's incredible when you read the Bible. We started off in the book of Genesis. And what do we learn from Genesis? How God created the world. And how man was in paradise. And we went through the history of the Israelites and mankind. And what we have found throughout the Bible so far is man committed sin, which separated him from God. And now the book of Revelation completes that as a bookend. It winds up that we're looking at paradise again. We're looking at the new heaven, the new Jerusalem. And this is what John shares with us. Revelation is a book of hope. And John proclaimed that the victorious Lord would surely return to vindicate the righteous and judge the wicked. So when you read Revelation, you could see there were judgments against Satan, against governments, against people who are wicked. But God is going to be there for those who are righteous, those who put his name first in their lives. And Revelation is written in apocalyptic form a type of Jewish literature that uses symbolic imagery to communicate hope to those Christians facing persecution. What other book did we read that the author encouraged Christians in a time of persecution? How about 1 Peter? Who did 1 Peter write to? Those saints who were dispersed. And we'll just remember that thought and we'll come to it on our map. Dean?
This apocalyptic literature, if you look at the Old Testament in terms of the types of literature, you had prophets who went to the people and said, repent, or this is going to happen. So it was a warning, and it gave them time to repent. That's one kind of prophecy. Then there's apocalyptic literature. And apocalyptic literature just takes the whole timeline of history and says, this is what's going to happen. And your repentance or lack of it is not what's going to affect it. It's kind of like Daniel, in a sense. Because Daniel says, there are four great empires coming. And nothing that anybody can do is going to change that.
Exactly.
So this, in a sense, apocalyptic literature isn't an encouragement to repent. It's an encouragement to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is going to do this.
Sure, absolutely. And we see in our lives, when we read the Bible, what separates us from God? That is sin. And throughout the history of the Israelites, they sinned. But God was long-suffering and forgave them. So when we go through this book, we see there's an introduction, and then we see the messages to the churches in the second and third chapter, the letters to the seven churches of Asia. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And in chapters 4 and 5, we see seven scenes in heaven, all about worship. We continue in this book, we see the tribulation period. We find that in chapter 6 through chapter 8, verse 6, the seven seals. From 8:6 to 11:19, John shares with us the seven trumpets and scourges. We see the judgments of the beast. Those are the governments who were in the world that were causing some havoc. In chapters 12 to 14, we see the seven signs, the seven bowls of wrath. In chapters 15 and 16, 17 to 20, we see the final visions. And this is all what John is writing down from his visions that he received from Jesus. And finally, we come across the beauty of heaven. In chapters 21, verses 1 through 8, the new heaven and earth. Verse 9 through 27, the heavenly kingdom. In chapter 22, verses 1 through 5, we see the heavenly Eden. And that's eternal life with God. That's what we are striving for. And he concludes in the latter part of chapter 22, verses 6 through 21, the last words of Jesus. So we see it's pretty interesting. When you look at this particular book, a lot of people look at different interpretations of this book. First interpretation is a preterist view, and the book was written and fulfilled in John's day. We see another interpretation of this particular message, Revelation, a continuous historical view. The book foretells events from John's writings to the end of time. We see another method of interpreting Revelation is a philosophy of history view, and the symbols and pictures described represent forces rather than real events and peoples. A fourth view is a historical background view, where the book was written for people in John's day with principles applicable to the end of time. And the fifth view people interpretate this book is a futuristic view. The book describes events which immediately precede the second coming of Christ. There are many, many people from century one till up till now have written many things about this book. And you could talk to a lot of people. They have different views. I like to think that when you read Revelation, you realize that Jesus is going to win. God's going to win. And that's the message that John is sharing with us. The date, like I said, there was two different dates that are suggested. One is 54 through 68 AD, shortly after the persecution of Nero and prior to the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. That's the early date. There are Christians among us who believe in the early date. Then again, when you talk to the second group, there are people who believe in the later date, 95 through 96, during or shortly after the persecution by Domitian. That's the later date. Those are the two dates that people base their views on Revelation. There's internal evidence concerning these dates. If you were to go to, the book addresses a spiritual conflict between the Lord and the adversary, Satan uses world government, the beast, and the false prophet to enforce universal worship. And we see that these governments demanded people to worship the emperor. They were like gods. Christians don't worship them. Christians worship one God, the Heavenly Father. They worship Jesus. They worship the Trinity, the Godhead. We see in Revelation 1 and 4, it addresses the seven churches of Asia. In verse 9, John is banished to the Isle of Patmos. In chapter 3, verse 10, the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. We see Domitian banish many prisoners to islands. He wasn't compassionate. He didn't kill people like Nero did. He just, maybe they'll die on these islands. So he pushed them away. That's where you get the later date. In Revelation 13:7, we read it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. We go further in Revelation chapter 2, verse 3, unlikely that these cities, referring to the churches of Asia, would have deteriorated to the point described in such a short time if the early date was proposed. If the book was written from 54 to 68, and a lot of these cities were demolished, they wouldn't have rebuilt before the end of Jerusalem. In Revelation 3:17, because you say, I am rich, I became wealthy. Laodicea, that particular church. Well, if you look at history, that particular town was destroyed in 61. It was unlikely it would have been rebuilt so quickly and referred to as wealthy, John does in Revelation, if it was the early date. External evidence, we see the Apostle Paul wrote the church in Ephesus during the year 62 AD. And the state of the church appeared to be good. Paul commended the brethren of Ephesus, saying that he had heard of their faith and the love which he showed towards all the saints. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Well, in Revelation's account, Ephesus had obviously made spiritual changes for the worse. They severed that relationship with God. And John wrote that they had left their first love, Revelation 2 and 4. And this time obviously was different. Different than when Paul was alive and writing to the saints at Ephesus. I have a map here. And I think here it is. If we see, hold on a second here. These numbers right here. Oh, come on, look, let's go up here. So I wish I was a kid again writing here. They do a better job than me with this mouse. When you look at those numbers, those are the seven churches of Asia. And like I said before, when we started that, Peter, and I think, where did I go here? Peter had wrote to all these churches up here up in this area of Asia. So Peter was encouraging the saints up there. Now John is doing the same thing. And if you look down here, this is where he was exiled to in Patmos. So Revelation's message, God wins. That's the whole deal. God's in control. We see that the Gospels present Christ's humiliation, his early life, his ministry, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. The epistles gives a glimpse of Christ coming in glory. Can I get a volunteer to read Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, please?
This faith no hope, and we set unto the name of the Lord, the man who is people now, the most writer that is not heard, that every time I'm present, we pray for the Lord as well.
Thank you, Eileen. So, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So Paul is telling the saints at Philippi, everybody is going to bow before Jesus. There's going to be a time for that. And Revelation reverses Christ's humiliation and reveals him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and all his glory. And Jesus takes his rightful place as ruler over the earth. And the book of Revelation is a letter written to the seven churches as both an encouragement and a challenge. And it uses visions and symbolic imagery to offer a glimpse of God's plan for a new creation. The visions of Revelation point to the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham and his purpose for humanity. When people look at the book of Revelation, they are getting scared because of all the imagery. That's why you have to go back to Daniel and see the visions that Daniel encountered and interpret them, and then study Revelation, and you'll get a sense of this vision that John has. And the purpose of the book of Revelation is to bless Christians and equip them. We see in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Then at the end of the book, John again says, gives us an encouragement. In verse 7 of chapter 22, and behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. As we as Christians have to be equipped. And by equipping ourselves to be good servants of the Lord, is we immerse ourselves in studying God's word and seeing the direction he wants us to go. And Revelation is part of that study. That's because it looks so difficult. It should be part of our lives to try to understand what Jesus is telling John so that we could also be encouraged and blessed. And like I said, Revelation contains visions which proclaim us the last days before Christ's return and ushering in the new heaven and new earth. And the revelation begins with letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor, then goes on to reveal a series of devastations poured out upon earth. We see the mark of the beast, the battle of Armageddon, the binding of Satan, the reign of the Lord, the great white throne judgment, the nature of the eternal city of God, and prophecies concerning Jesus Christ are fulfilled and concluded, calling to his lordship, and assures us that he will return. We don't know when he's going to return, but yet he will return. Can I get a volunteer to read Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, please?
The Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who
is. Thank you very much, Vicki. So we see, I am the Alpha and the Omega. So Jesus starts the book by saying, I'm the first and the last. And he ends the book the same way. Can I get a volunteer to read verse 12 and 13 in the 22nd chapter, please?
Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end.
Thank you, Mandy. So we see Jesus is going to judge us. Judge us according to our deeds, those good and bad deeds. Again, he's the first and last. Alpha being the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega being the last. So the Lord's going to come. He's going to return. We as Christians have to be ready. And we get ready by serving the Lord to the best of our ability. Serving our brothers and sisters to the best of our ability. Serving our neighbors to the best of our ability. And how do we equip ourselves? Again, go to the Bible. Read read what's in it, study what's in it, meditate on God's word, but also pray about it. And then again, put it into action. Like I said, the fourth and fifth chapters deal with worship. And the book of Revelation is about adoration for God. It contains scene after scene of worshiping God and the Lamb in heaven, because the Godhead alone is worthy. Throughout the Bible, we see different groups, even the children of Israel, started worshiping idols, started worshiping things, earthly things, material things. Today also, we have the same situation. We see people, even Christians, they put their jobs first. They put other things ahead of worshiping God. And as Christians, we have to be aware that Jesus is going to return and he's going to judge us. And when you read in this book, when we get to heaven, we're just not going to just hang out there and do what we want to do. All of us together are going to be worshiping the Lord, are going to be worshiping God. And then again, you could talk to the Apostle John and ask him, what did you mean by this in the book? Or even Paul. It's interesting when we read on the spread of the gospel. These men whom Jesus started with, they didn't have a clue of what was happening until they received the Holy Spirit. And then they remembered Jesus' teachings. We don't have that privilege. All we have is God's word and our faith in it. And we should be building upon that. We worship God today. Collectively, we're here and honoring God. We pray to him tonight. We ask for his help with some of our brethren and friends. We worship God tonight. And it's sad commentary on society when they negate that. There was an article in the Christian Chronicle, a magazine we get. Faye and I get. And they did a survey on churches in Colorado. And they claim that their attendance over the years dropped down to 50%, which is sad. And, you know, that could be by people moving away, people dying. But yet, you look around us tonight. We're skinny as far as a group. We as brothers and sisters should be reaching out to those. And I think I'm dead. Yeah, it's dead, Ken.
Let me back up in 1 second.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Back on.
Thanks, buddy. We as brothers and sisters should be reaching out to our brethren, encouraging them, not hitting them over the head with a wet noodle, but appealing to them, because they are going to be standing in front of the judgment seat of God also and accountable for their actions. And one of their actions is worshiping God. How do we worship God? We collectively come together. We study God's word. We come together Sunday mornings and partake the Lord's Supper. We are encouraged with a lesson that teaches us. And you know, just because you heard lessons from, say, Acts over the years and years, we still learn something. We still encourage each other when we're together. And when you read the Bible, oh, I didn't remember that. Now I do. That's why we read the Bible. We go over and over. I remember one person told me, and this was a older gentleman, said to me that I will always be a student of the Bible. We are always learning and growing and sharing that growth, our knowledge, with our brothers and sisters. And that's important. We have to worship the Lord. We see the four horsemen of the apocalypse in Revelation. And the first four seal judgments consist of horsemen who galloped across the earth carrying various forms of judgment. The first, the white horse and rider, the Antichrist. The red horse and rider, war and bloodshed. The black horse and rider, famine. And the pale horse and rider, pestilence and death. I'm not going to be teaching Revelation in this particular session, but yet when you read that, you could read those accounts and in those particular chapters. And Jerry will be posting this lesson to the website, so you don't have to scramble on remembering all these verses. You can download the lesson from the website. We see the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God is Jesus Christ. And remember back in the Gospels, what did John the Baptist say when he saw Jesus? He describes Jesus as the Lamb of God. In John chapter 1, verse 26 and 29, I had that reversed there. Sorry. And the book of Revelation uses this symbol 7 times. And there are the particular references. I'm not into numbers and see what they mean, but if you were to study what numbers are, they have a meaning. And it's interesting to see that John refers to Jesus the Christ as the Lamb of God 7 times. And we see also in the book that it focuses on 3 symbols. And they are the 7 seals of judgment. And they present the world ruined by man. The 7 trumpets judgments portray the world ruled by Satan. And the 7 bowls of judgment prefigure the world reclaimed by God. So we see in the book there's a conflict between good and evil, Satan and Jesus. And God will win in the end. Human beings had a problem with sin since the fall of man in Genesis 3. We read how Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They sinned against God. Well, Revelation provides the final answer to this problem. We have a hope that Jesus will once and for all heal the wounds caused by sin. Just remember, going back to the cross, Jesus died on that cross so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven. And his blood flown forwards to the New Testament times and also backwards to those individuals who were faithful. We see the period of victory when Roman persecution ended and continuing until sometime before the Lord returned. And that quote is from Homer Haley. And again, a reference from Homer Haley's book, The Church at Home with God in Final Glory Before the Judgment. But here's the church. The church is going to be glorified. No matter what Satan does today, or did in the past, or will do in the future, Jesus is going to win. Jesus is going to put Satan in his place. And the Bible narrative that we've been covering for the past year, it's just simple. One of creation. We know when God created the world in Genesis. We see that man fell. He sinned. But Jesus is going to be victorious over sin. And with his death on the cross, it enables us as Christians to be forgiven. In Revelation 20 and verse 11, can I get a volunteer to read that, please?
And I saw a great white throne, and him on it, from those who tread this earth, and fled away, and no peace was found in them.
Thank you very much, Seth. So we see there's a lot of imagery in the book. And if we go to the 21st chapter in verse 1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there's no longer any sea. Again, the imagery concerning what's going to happen. We know that this earth that we live on is eventually deteriorating. It's going to disintegrate. Going to burn up. We're going to deplenish all the resources from this earth. We don't know when that's going to be. We don't know what's going to happen. But Jesus is going to return in his full glory and be with us. So if we're still on earth, or those Christians who are here, when we look at the book of Revelation, it should be an encouragement to us. But more important, before the final judgment begins, Christians are to share with friends and neighbors about God's offer of eternal life in Christ. And what's that? The gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And that's one thing that is our responsibility as Christians, to share that message to the best of our ability. Another point that we should have in our lives are Christians are to live like Christ and show others the hope we have in the promises of God. We are blessed, and we are blessed so gratefully, gratefully from God. And when you read Jesus' life here on earth, you could see how he presented himself. Sure, he got angry. Sure, he got upset. but he forgave people. And he promised people that if they followed him, he will take care of them. And that's what we do today. We are putting Jesus first in our lives. We are honoring God the Father with our worship. And we as Christians are preparing. We are looking for that hope. We are preparing ourselves, equipping ourselves to be better servants of the Lord, to stand up and always for the Lord. That ends our study of the overview of the Bible. I know we took a long time with it. I had put together a booklet years ago. It must be about 20 sheets, but I expanded tremendously on it so that we could see a little more insight into each and every book. Next week, Dean will be starting a study in the book of Romans. So be ready for that. And are there any questions tonight or comments?
But Chad and I are going to share.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
The book of Romans. And I have yet to talk with Dan and figure out who's doing what. But we'll have a syllabus ready, and I think we can cover Romans in 13 weeks.
Okay. So that's where we're going. Ted will be jointly teaching with Dean.
Lenny? Lee was wondering when you started your overview. Do you remember?
Yes. I believe it was end of February last year.
Thank you.
You're